97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
On FEMA funding, how much time does Congress have to act before FEMA or the SBA run out of money?
That's in discussion now. I don't want to give you a mislead you. I think in terms of the SBA, it's pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on the emergency needs immediately. And they're going to have to come back after the election as well, because this is going to be a long haul for total rebuilding. It's going to take several billion dollars. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
And we are lucky on this Friday morning that we get bonus Griff, that we get to chat with you here. I mean, you have been all over the place, right, covering the hurricane relief efforts. Where are you right now?
Kim, I am back in D.C., and I apologize I missed you yesterday because they raced me back. You know, it's like I've been in this whirlwind of a news cycle and calling in from everywhere with you guys the last couple of weeks, and it continues today. They had to get me back, and I'm covering this TD Bank story, which is bonkers. We can talk about that in a minute. But and then I'm headed to New York shortly in a few hours. But I was down in that hurricane, as you saw, and I called in and talked to you guys a little bit about North Carolina. And while it appears, at least in this early assessment, that Florida fared really well considering how bad of a storm it was, the problems in North Carolina, particularly in the western counties, there's 13 of them most affected, that's not getting any better necessarily anytime soon. A, because of the challenge of the mountain terrain. And I think I showed, you know, our viewers a lot of it going up in the helicopters, and you could see these communities that have been cut off from civilization. Getting power and getting running water back there is going to be a weeks, if not months problem, not like a couple of days where you can really bring in heavy equipment and even with government FEMA and military support, it's a daunting challenge, and it's going to take a long time to get fixed.
Well, I know the number one concern is saving lives, obviously, but I have to point out again, I mean, I can't help but think we're, what, 20-some-odd days away from the election. What kind of impact will this potentially have?
Awesome question, Kim, and a huge one, because, look, you've got these 13 western counties that were most affected. The North Carolina State Board of Elections passed this emergency measure to give them broader authority to do things like change the location side of their early voting, which starts on this coming next Thursday.
Wow.
So we're days away from early voting starting. And they've got polling sites, and then they've got staffing shortage concerns, because a lot of the election workers may have had their house destroyed, or it was damaged, and or they don't have power or water. So they live with, you know, their aunt right now in Atlanta or Charlotte or something else. And so they're not around to do it. So early voting is going to be the immediate challenge. And then the election, just a month away, you know, we're talking about a significant impact in an area where Trump heavily relied in 2020 on Western North Carolina. In fact, statewide, Trump only won by 1.3%, or just over 74,000 votes. And this is an area that was heavily Trump country. And so it's going to be interesting. The other challenge I've got, by the way, is getting ballots, absentee ballots, in the hands of some of these voters if they want to do absentee because they're somewhere else. And they did modify the rules on, you know, if you're in another city or another place because you can't go home, you can get your absentee ballot there. But I think it's going to be a story we're talking about for a while, particularly if the election comes down to North Carolina.
And I've heard different stories about, is there enough money from FEMA? But you have Mayorkas saying no. Then they do damage control and say, no, there is enough money. And then even Biden comes out yesterday and says, we need Congress to come back. As you just heard in that soundbite we played, they need more money.
There's just an incredible confusion and complication in the country in sort of understanding what it is that Mayorkas is saying and what the administration is saying about whether or not they've got enough money and just trying to explain to people the different streams of money and where money comes from. When we heard at the beginning of the season, you got plenty of money and now they don't have enough. And the typical challenge in Washington, it's actually pretty complicated as to why Biden can't really recall Congress to address it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, wait a minute, we're not going to do this and write this blank check. But at the same time, you know, the president can technically call lawmakers back to Washington if he wants. Mm-hmm. But he has to have basically both the House and the Senate in their, you know, full posture to do things. So they have to be technically sort of in session.
Right.
And so, like, everybody's got to come back.
Right. And that's going to be a tough sell to get everyone to come back.
Right.
We have like a minute left, but you said the story you're covering today is bonkers. Give us a quick preview.
Yeah, you may have seen this, and you're going to hear more about it today. TD Bank, which is the 10th largest bank in the country, for the first time in U.S. history yesterday, pled guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. The DOJ, AG Garland, says drug cartels in Mexico, China, and Colombia were laundering hundreds of millions from fentanyl, with bank employees totally aware of what was happening,
wow,
but doing nothing about it. They're getting a $3 billion fine. The bank CEO says they're cooperating. People are starting to get prosecuted, but this is just unthinkable that for the past 6 years, the 10th largest bank in the country wasn't monitoring more than 92%, or to the tune of $18 trillion worth of customer activity. In the indictment you can read on the DOJ's website, there was literally case after case of piles of cash being dumped on bank counters for deposit, and no one said, hang on, wait a minute.
Jeez, what a mess. And you have to wonder, where else is that going on that hasn't been exposed yet?
You got that right. Great job, Kim. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Griff. You're the best. Have a great weekend. We'll look for you on Big Fox.
Thank you. See ya.
Griff Jenkins, Fox News. One of our favorites, I would say. We love bonus
love Griff.
When we get him on a day we're not expecting it, we love it. That's what we call it, bonus Griff.
Get more at 971talk.com.